Well, yeah, welcome back, guys. This is the D&D podcast, Forged 20. I'm your host today here, Shmi, and I really want to let you guys know that I really enjoy you guys being here and listening to the podcast. We're gonna be starting the campaign very soon. I'm gonna have my friend here, the Dungeon Master, to do a little recap to let you guys know what's happening. And, yeah. Take it away, Dungeon Master.
Let it be known that will be the nicest thing Rap will ever say to you.
Look, I say very nice things to him all the time.
He does. I love you, buddy.
I'm not talking about Zach. I'm talking about the viewers.
Oh, no. Yeah, maybe.
All right, let's get this
shit. Yeah, yeah. Anyways, guys. Last time, the Crimson Bull began to tear apart this Owlin family before Moros and Lloyd, and after a brief scuffle, Moros and Lloyd bring Chorus back to reality. Moros was extremely upset about this, because Chorus, while not in control of his body, tore apart the Owlin family minus the mother, who escaped. There was some sort of mutual understanding to have Moros continue traveling with Chorus and Lloyd. Shit, I lost my train of thought, but don't worry, I can edit this out. Decided to keep traveling together to try to, well, either free Chorus from his pact, or he will succumb to it, and the boys will have to unfortunately kill him. As they ventured deeper into the Whisper Woods, they came across a area of mist and found the dead body of a jaguar that was clawed into, smithereens. And upon searching this area a little more, found a thick brush that led to the west, where they found an effigy to some sort of god, and meeting the eyes of Moros Omenborn was a giant elk, and when it opened its mouth, gave off the sound of a great horn. Moros didn't have any idea what this was, but following his instincts, it led him back to the jaguar, which, upon further inspection of the great mist that was surrounding this thick spot in the woods, they discovered a cave hidden among the fog. While traveling through the cave, they discovered that two undead owlbears have been protecting a temple of some kind. As now, you all are going down this 5-foot-wide, 10-foot-tall stone passageway that is arched as if you're going through this cavern system. And after maybe about 5 minutes of walking, it reaches an end, and there is a door, a double door, that is sealed shut. It is a stone door. There are all sorts of ancient sigils upon this that none of you can currently understand a lick of what this says. What do you do with the storm in front of you?
I hope
Rose tries to smash the door.
Roll me in on
the same idea.
Wait, I'll let him try to open it. If he's just going to try to open it with his hands, I'll let him try to open it first. If it doesn't open, then I'm going to fucking hit it with my sword.
No, I'm going to break your sword.
I will try to open the door. I will try to force it open if it's stuck.
I will assist him.
Okay. Pure strength.
Yes, strength check with advantage. This is an extremely heavy, large stone door.
Oh.
Don't even need advantage. Lloyd doesn't even need Moros' help, as Lloyd, with just one arm, you open it. No problem. When you look inside, you see a cylindrical kind of room and you see a circular platform with similar sigils that you saw on the door. And then you can see what appears to be a stand of some kind, and the stand's top has a flat, square surface with a purple gem on it in the shape of a humanoid hand.
This room is creepy.
Yeah, I don't like it very much.
Our resident paladin should take care of everything here. I have no understanding of what these runes are.
We entered a room, correct?
Yes, you did.
Okay, are we on a new map?
Nope, you are... You should be on the... Oh, hold on. You should be on this map. Alright.
I'm gonna have to... Oh, nope, there it is.
Yeah, but it just takes a second.
You take a second.
My goodness, I gotta zoom in. It's a big-ass room.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big-ass map, man.
You have a big ass.
So, who wants to lead the way? I call Nodin.
What do we do about this hand? Do you want to take it? You want to destroy it? What?
Describe that whole scene again, Zach. Can you describe it again? This hand, this room, I'm sorry.
So there is a stand, a stone stand, that acts as a table, and you see the indention in a purple crystalline form of a hand.
Then. Well, if anyone's gonna lose a hand, it probably should be the skeleton.
Very well. If he wishes to offer his hand, I have no objections.
I mean, I kinda got lucky. I got these. I don't know if I ever actually told you all. It was kind of just a thing that happened. So, remember when the son of the Vinstrom fella gave us some magic items? Well, I got these gloves. And these bitches are alive. So, yeah. You know, yeah. If I lose a hand, it'll probably just attach itself back. And I put my hand on the crystal indent.
As you put your hand on the crystal indent, the crystal begins to glow purple as you can feel the room beginning to shift and you hear the sound of stone grinding and grinding, and you are descending deep, deep, deep down. After about 2 minutes, it stops moving and the door opens. And you see complete darkness, a misty darkness spilling out from the other side. Unless you can see in magical darkness, you can't see at all. You can see the room you're in as it's lit by two purple torches, but you can't see through the doorway that just opened.
I don't like the looks of this.
Oh, one more thing.
Neither can
the sound of whispering. It is coming from here. The source of the Whisperwood is whatever is in here. It is that powerful and loud.
All right, well, get ready to roll, guys.
You all still got the cotton in your ears, right?
Huh?
I'll take that as a yes. Heads up. I can't see anything in here either. So why am I talking to you? You can't hear me.
I have dark vision, so I can see if it...
It's vision. Magical darkness.
Magical darkness.
Of course. Why is your mouth moving? But no words have been spoken.
You... I mime kind of like where my ears would have been. And I plug them and then unplug them. And I point at him.
Alright, I pull out the cotton balls.
Oh god, I didn't mean to pull them out.
I was joking, I could hear slight muffles, but...
Okay, well, I can't see shit, so.
Maybe I should put these back in.
Oh, here, hold on, give me a second. I turn Lloyd around and I start rummaging through the backpack I gave him and I pull out 50 feet of rope. We should tie each other together. So we can't get lost.
Huh. For a man without a brain, you sure are smart.
I'm gonna take that as a compliment. I feel like there's some backhandedness to it, but whatever. I start tying it around my waist. And I'll hand it to Lloyd.
Alright, I tie it around my waist and I throw it to, Moros.
I look at the rope. Do we really think this is a good idea? What if one of us gets grabbed and the whole bunch goes?
That's fine.
I'd rather us all go than just one.
That is true.
Moros shrugs. Very well. And he attaches the belt, or attaches it around him like a belt. Give me 1 second, I'll go check on Anakin. I'll be right back, but I'm listening. I'm just muting myself.
Alright, you all three tie this rope around each of your waists, ready to go. Are you guys going? This is a 15-foot wide hallway, so it's perfect for you guys to line up horizontal, but you guys can also, like, kind of go vertical as well. How do you guys kind of want to position yourselves?
Going side by side is okay.
Yeah, side by side.
All right. Do you step into the darkness?
Hold on. I think I have a spell that I'm going to cast real quick. Magic missile?
There's another clip right there.
I cast magic missile.
Into the darkness.
Oh, man. All right. As you all slowly walk through, you guys have your ears plugged, right? I'm assuming? Because we said we have cotton swabs in our ears.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't have ears, so he has nothing he can plug. His whole body's an orifice, so he just has accepted that it's not worth it. It's not even going to work.
I was going to say.
He's got magical hearing because he doesn't have a hearing. He doesn't have hearing fucking drums. Like eardrums.
Hearing drums?
I couldn't think of the word, okay? I don't know why I couldn't think of the word ear for eardrums.
All right, as you all enter, you guys, I'm assuming, are entering the magical darkness. Of course, the whispering is growing very strong. And you feel like it's driving you mad. Roll me a charisma saving throw.
I'm good at those.
You are.
21.
That is a success as you resist the effects of you can feel that you are being driven absolutely insane, but you try to keep calm, keep level, to try to just trudge through the darkness and... As you guys get about 15 feet into the darkness, of course, something touches your shoulder.
Lloyd, I know it's dark, but that's not funny.
And you what? Can feel, let's see if this hits.
I don't have armor anymore, by the way, so...
An 18, so you're gonna take 9 points of necrotic
damage. Would've hit anyways.
And your strength score is reduced by 1 d4, so could you roll me a d4?
Perfect. Necrotic damage, you say? A 2.
Your strength score is reduced by 2.
Ew.
You cannot see this foe. Here, I will move you guys to where you would be. It would be about right here. But I would like for you to roll me initiative.
God, I can't see anything.
I will say, you can feel it is coming from... Oh, shit. Hold on. I did not remove the fog of war from the map.
Well, I was going to say, we're in magical darkness. We can see nothing.
Well, I created bricks, like brick squares, so you guys can at least...
Gotcha.
There we go.
Understand, we have a wall somewhere.
It's coming from right here, the thing that just touched you.
They're freaking the fuck out.
My bones. What's happening? What's happening? What's wrong?
Something happened. Trying to drain the life of me, but, you know, being undead, it didn't really do much, but still mildly uncomfortable.
I'm gonna ready my sword. I can't really see, so I don't know what I'm fighting. I don't know where this thing is. He just said it was like over here.
It was behind us. It was like right about here-ish. Why am I blue? Should not be blue.
All right, well, I'm just gonna attack in front of me and see what happens.
Okay, roll at disadvantage because you can't see. Now, you said you're just swinging in front of you, not at where Chorus was, like, behind me, or just want clarification on that?
Like, behind me.
Okay.
Like, I'll turn around and, like, just start swinging.
Okay. You rolled a 20 that hits. Roll me your damage.
I rolled a 12.
Oh, yeah.
Disadvantage.
Oh, either way. I mean, it hits.
Is it there?
Yeah. Right where he pointed it out. There's something there. As it lets out a screech.
Hell yeah. I'm two-handing this motherfucker. I did not mean to do that.
We already know you hit. 10 points of damage. This is non-magical, correct?
Yeah.
Alright. As you hear a wailing scream of pain coming from that location where you just swung your sword. Is there anything else you can do on your turn?
God. I have nothing. No. I'm just gonna scream out, I hit it! Yep. It's right in front of me! Or behind me.
It's in here. Somewhere.
In the room.
It's on my back?
Oh god, it's coming in charge.
It's coming on me?
What are the fucking Supernatural Brothers' names?
The Winchesters.
What's the other brother? It's Dean and what?
Dean and Sam.
Dean! It's coming on my back! Dean! The ghost, it's all over me.
Oh shit. All right, Lloyd, is that it with your turn?
Yes.
All right. So up next, because it got a round of surprise on you guys, it's actually its turn in the initiative order, so it would get another turn. It is going to now try to strength drain as you feel a hand touching your shoulder. And the whispering, even though you're wearing earplugs, you can hear it growing louder and louder. Rolls a 17. That hits. You're gonna take.
You didn't say who he's attacking.
Oh, I said Lloyd.
Okay.
Yeah, you're just saying who, and I was like, what? You're just saying you, and I was like, woo!
Alright, Lloyd, you're gonna take 14 points of necrotic damage, and I need you to roll a d4.
Please roll a 1. Not bad.
2. Your strength score is reduced by 2.
Damn. Okay.
How bad's your strength score now?
It's a 17, so plus 3.
Oh, you're fine.
All right.
The damn made me think you dropped below a 10, and I was like, oh god.
Chorus, it's your turn.
Just give me.
I'm a 14
or just go. Oh, my bad. I thought you went first, so I guess I wasn't paying attention. My bad.
No, I got attacked first.
That's right. Okay, you were gone. Forgive me. The surprise round.
Hmm? Nope. All right. It's within that range, so I ain't no doing that. Okay. We're going to chill touch. Because I know the area it's occupying. I don't need to see it.
Okay. So,
yeah, it just says make a ranged spell attack in the space of a creature within range. I don't have to see it. I know it's in range.
All right.
So, that's a 20 to hit.
Yes, that would hit.
I rolled really badly. Only takes one damage. Oh. And is it undead?
It is undead.
It has disadvantage on attack rolls against me until the end of my next turn.
Noted.
And then I will... Do I have any other bonus actions? I don't think I do. Nope, no other bonus actions. That's my turn.
All right. Up next would be Moros.
All right. I'm going to, in the source of the sounds and direction, I'm going to attack. But I think I have a feat that might help. Okay, I'm gonna use Divine Sense. Detect good and evil. Until the end of my next turn, I can sense anything affected by a hollow spell or know the location of any celestial fiend undead within 60 feet that is not behind total cover.
60 feet, you said?
60 feet.
All right.
I'm about to get multiple pings, boys.
You're going to get at least two.
There are three pings. You can feel one about 10 feet from you, the one that you can assume that Lloyd and Chorus are fighting with, and there are two about 10, 15 feet in front of you.
Okay. I'm going to relay that information to the party. I say there are three of them. Two of them coming from behind us, and I point, from further in. I say from further in. Two more coming from further in. They're about 15 feet away as I go charging into the first one that they're both currently attacking. I'm trying to get rid of him real quick. So I just keep moving in because I can't run away from them because we're all still tied to fucking together. Mm-hmm. So I got to stay close. And,
within 50 feet.
I was going to say, 50 feet of rope, you probably have about 10 feet you could move away from.
Oh, okay. And then here's my... disadvantage, right? Great sword. Oh wait, no, I can sense his presence. I know where it is. Mm-hmm. This is normal.
Normal attack?
Alright. 26! Oh, nat 20, baby!
Nat 20. Roll nice. Me some damage, man. Hell yeah.
Let's see. Do I want to hit the Divine Smite? No, I'll save it. 10 doubled, so 20.
20 points of damage.
Oh, I got a markup.
Alright. Tell me, what happens to the shadow as you delete it from existence?
So, when Moros casts the Divine Sense, for him, what the party sees, he doesn't necessarily see this, but the party sees two illuminated golden eyes illuminate from Moros. His eyes begin to glow. And then, immediately from Moros' perspective, he sees the golden outlines of these shades. Where they are, how they're moving. He knows where they're at, where they're standing, how they're moving, and immediately moves into action. The shade is looking at him, and the shade feels comfortable, like it isn't seen, like it is invisible to him. And it realizes all too late that Moros is looking right at him. He rears that great sword back and goes north to south, cleaving him vertically, completely down the middle, and he just puffs into nothing.
And the shadow dissipates into nothingness. You do have two that are still left in front of you. Is there anything else you are able to do on your turn?
That is the end of my turn.
All right. So, back to the top.
I remind them that there's two more. I'm sorry.
Yes. One comes charging in and is going to make an attack against Lloyd as it You feel another hand placed upon your shoulder, Lloyd, a 22, as you take 9 points of necrotic damage, and your strength score is reduced by 1d4. Roll me a d4. One. Your strength score is reduced by 1. That is that shadow's turn. Next up in the turn order. Now, I have a question, Moros. How does your divine sense, is that instantaneous and then it's over? Or is it something that stays up for a certain amount of time? Just curious.
Let me scroll down here. Until the end of my next turn, so it keeps going.
So until the end of your next turn, as another one has joined the fray, and you see it's getting closer and closer. That's
can I use a reaction to call that out to them?
Talking's a free action.
Okay, I say, another has entered the fray! Three of them now!
Lloyd, it is your turn.
Ah! Damn it.
Damn it, why? Lord.
Why? I'm gonna attack behind me. I'm in pain. My strength feels sapped. Please hit.
22 does hit. Lloyd, roll me some damage.
I don't have to roll a disadvantage?
Oh, you're right. 11 misses.
Oh, that's less than 11.
You swing your longsword, and you just feel it like it just swung through the air through nothing.
Fuck yeah. I don't want to die, so I'm gonna... Where is it? I'm gonna use Second Wind as my bonus action.
Okay.
To 1d10 plus 4.
Yes, sir.
Fuck you. I'll heal 6 HP.
F in the chat, boys.
And then I will use Action Surge.
Okay.
Because why not? You know? I gotta end this quickly. Please.
Oh!
Please.
Roll another natural 20.
That's 9. Okay.
A 15 still hits.
No, my strength is sapped. When we kill the other one, does our strength come back?
Not until you finish a short or long rest.
Oh. Well, does a 12 hit?
A 12 does hit, actually, yes.
Okay, cool, because I have a minus 3.
In your character sheet, if you go to strength and right click on the number, I think you can, yeah, you can, you know, open up like the menu on the side, and you can put a minus 3 on the other modifiers.
How do I do that?
So when you're looking at your character sheet,
yeah,
you see your strength score. Click on it, on like the actual number, and then it'll open up a menu on the side.
There
not like
go.
The plus the yeah, and then you can change the put the other modifier down to you can subtract whatever was sapped from you from it.
All right, oh that's cool.
Yep.
Well, there we go.
Damage time.
Fuck you.
As you feel the swing...
Go ahead. I'm gonna burst my psionic strike.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, 6 extra damage.
6 psychic damage, right?
Yes.
You hear a loud scream come right in front of you, and there's just a loud, demonic-sounding screech. It is something unlike you've ever heard before, right in front of you. Is there anything else you can do? I think bonus action, action. You
I don't know if you want to take any movement.
No, I don't.
Okay. All right, so that would be your turn. Chorus, it is your turn.
All right, so I know there's something in front of Lloyd.
Oh, yeah, you heard it scream.
Because he's... Oh, it screamed. Okay. So, okay. And I know they're further down the hall, right?
Moros did point out that there are more down the hall, but you cannot physically see them.
Cool. That's all I needed to know. 5, 10. You're saying I can move about 10 feet with rope between us. It's 50 feet of rope.
Yep, and you're 5 feet from this next one.
Cool. I did this more so just to get away from my friends. Because I need all of them to make a dexterity saving throw. Unless this one is more than 5 feet away from me. It is 10 feet away from me, so.
That one is 10 feet away.
This one's 5, this one's 5. So the one above me and the one below me, and you make a dexterity saving throw.
Ooh, 11 and 3. I believe those both fail.
Both fail. So they will take 6 points of force damage.
Force damage, nice.
As spectral swords come bursting out of my body. So. And that will be my turn.
Alrighty. Next up. One last one getting within 60 feet of Moros' sense. Moros, you sense one more coming from the north.
I call that out. A fourth!
You all are being ambushed, and at this time, this one's going to see Chorus as a threat as he runs over. Chorus, yet again, you feel another hand touching you, the whispers getting louder and louder. By the gods. It's a natural 20.
Yeah.
You're going to take 6 points of necrotic damage, and your strength score is reduced by 1d4.
I roll that d4. Ooh, -3. So I'm at -5 right now. And then... God, am I glad I'm resistant to necrotic damage.
Moros, it is your turn.
Alright. I'm going to... Let's see, do I have any... No, I don't have anything that would hit multiple enemies. Very well. Alright, first I'm going to move. I'm going to put myself, let's say, here. So I'm flanking with Chorus on this one that's red. Would that be flanking?
Yeah.
Or would I need to
both within melee range, absolutely.
Alright, then I'm going to attack this one with advantage because I can see him with my thing because it's not the end of this turn yet.
Correct.
I'm going to, with advantage, 21.
21 hits.
21. The damage.
9 points of slashing damage.
As you slash down, and you can hear one last screech as the sounding screech fades into oblivion, you have decimated and deleted yet another shadow.
All right. And then let me see my bonus actions. Alright. That will be the end of my turn.
Alrighty. Up next is a shadow who is now, they are going to surround Chorus. Chorus, you can feel the hands grasping you. And in this moment, I want you to make me a charisma saving throw really quick.
I'm good at those. That's a 23. You ain't getting me, bitches.
As for just a brief moment, you can see through the magical darkness. You see the auras of two familiar faces touching you. They look decayed, decrepit. You've forgotten something about them, but you know who they are. It's your wife and daughter. But only in the representation of a shadow, a mere silhouette. As it touches you, they're draining the strength from you. You're able to withstand the effects. Nothing happens, but it's just a shock to see. Is going to... Okay. And that misses. Does not hit. That is his turn. Lloyd, it is your turn.
I can't see him.
You can't see anything.
Alright, I'm gonna walk forward. But since I don't know where I'm going, I'm gonna roll a d4. And this will determine where I... what direction I go in. Okay, well. I walk this way into the wall.
Bonk. You still have movement. I mean, you only move 10 feet.
All right, now I'm gonna do that again, but I'm gonna try to see if I can find a chorus.
There is a rope connecting us.
Mm-hmm. You just
pull. Okay, well, I'm gonna grab the rope. Where are they?
He's not responding.
Chorus.
Heavy labored breaths.
Sounds like a rabid dog. I'm gonna try to attack in front of him.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a...
stab through my bones.
Stabby, stabby, at disadvantage.
I mean, I assume they're, like, sucking him.
The whole nine, baby.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hit.
Oof.
If only.
Yep, your attack, unfortunately, does not hit. Is that your turn?
Yeah, that is my turn.
Lloyd, as you take a swing, not able to hit anything in right in front of Chorus.
Damn.
Chorus, in this moment, you're heavy labored breathing. What's going on your turn?
Oh, sorry. I zoned out for a second. I got baited into thinking Kendrick Lamar had responded to Drake, and he didn't, but... I misunderstood what the person was saying. They were saying Drake officially posted push-ups, but anyways, on my turn, as their visages fade away, and with a rage, sorry, Lloyd, I'm sword bursting again.
What?
I need dexterity saving throws.
...14...
Fail.
And a natural one?
Failure.
I failed.
18. God, I rolled a 6 again. I am not in the best headspace right now.
As you see these spectral swords bursting out of Chorus, Lloyd, some of them pierce into your flesh.
Upon hearing Lloyd behind me, well, Lloyd, when the fuck, when did you get behind me?
God damn it. I just walked up behind you. Why the fuck did you do that? Come on.
They were...
I'm right here.
They were wearing my daughter's skin.
All right. So.
Oh, hell no.
One of the shadows. Well, you guys can't even see them anymore.
Huh?
You guys can't see the shadows anymore, right?
I could never see them.
Boris can't.
No,
he
can't.
See the, he only saw the visages just for like 1 second. It was very glimpse brief. So one of the shadows is going to, again, place its hand on your shoulder, Chorus. An 8 misses. Boris Omenborn. Your rope has very little slack, because I believe you said it's 10 feet between each person. You're about cutting that line. There's complete darkness all around you. What's going on in your turn?
All right. I'm going to... Could I use my bonus action to make a perception check to try to perceive what is near me? Or nearest to my allies? Like I could maybe hear breathing near me or something like that? Or yeah. Would I know that this one that's like right in front of me is still right in front of me?
I mean, I would assume you would hear Lloyd and Chorus just talking.
Okay, well then I'll attack the one right.
Wearing my daughter's skin.
Okay, yeah, that motherfucker's right in front of me. Then I'll just attack that one in front of me with disadvantage, though, because I don't have magical darkness vision. Control. Click. 17.
17 hits.
12 slashing damage.
Is that magical slashing or just regular slashing?
Regular slashing.
Okay. Noted. All right, that's your main action. You want to use a bonus action or any of your movement?
Nope, that's my turn.
All right. Superman is?
Back to the top of the order. As one of the shadows is now, it is just going to suck Chorus dry. It's focusing him nice. Now.
What do you mean by that?
Whoa. 11 misses.
Miss.
Lloyd. It is your turn. You are in complete darkness. You just got hit by some spectral swords. What's going on?
I'm angry. Real, real angry. I can't see nothing. I'm getting hit. I'm going to swing my sword again in front of me.
All right. Go ahead and roll an attack with disadvantage.
Okay. Oh, thank God.
Nice. Yeah, that definitely hits. Roll me your damage.
Finally, some decent damage.
All right. I'm going to let you describe how you completely decimate this creature that you cannot
Well,
see.
Since I can't see, and I know Chorus was being attacked, I don't know from where, but I assumed in front of him. I start wildly swinging my sword, and I feel some resistance, so I'm assuming I'm hitting it. So I pull my sword overhead to give one final slash and slice it through the middle. Shadow dissipating.
All right. Lloyd, is that all?
Yeah. I can't really do anything.
All right. Of course.
Knowing Lloyd is right next to me, I'm going to circle around the creature and then sword burst again.
Alrighty. Let's roll 2 dex saves. A 9.
Right.
And a 17.
A 17 will pass. So because it's a cantrip, they take no damage.
Alrighty.
But the other one will take 5.
5 points of force damage as these spectral swords yet again emerge within 5 feet from you. Is that all?
That is it.
All right. Moros, you feel a hand touch you for a moment. And very quickly, you can see the visage of somebody yourself. You see the visage of an orc man touching your shoulder. It has a familiar feeling to it. And when the shoulder touches you, it rolled a natural one. You feel... What do you feel in this moment?
Anger. That something would dare imitate my father. And immediately Moros, upon like recognizing this visage, this bastardization of his father's memory, he looks at it and his face contorts with anger. You dare presume his form. Now you will be banished forever. And then Moros is getting ready to do a divine smite when it goes to his turn on this fucking thing.
Chorus.
Yes.
Another hand touches your leg this time. A 13 just hits.
No, it doesn't.
Yo, bit.
Ooh!
Sorry, that was aggressive.
No, totally valid, though. As your magical shield appears before you, preventing this creature from draining your strength even further than it already has, Moros Omenborn, as you prepare yourself... In this moment, what do you do?
I divine smite the bastard. Well, I'm going to strike it first. So I'm going to... at disadvantage, swing at the creature. 21.
21.
21 hits!
8 points of slashing damage, but I'm divine smiting as well. So let me roll my divine smite damage. Divine Smite damage, where are you? Mm-hmm. 2d8, so 8 points of radiant damage.
Ooh. What does this radiant damage do to destroy this shadow?
So, you see as Morov says that you will be banished forever. Immediately, he takes the great sword and does a sort of swathing strike from right to left. You see the sword begins as he starts to arc the blade. It starts to glow that same golden color, and the his allies can see a golden light starts to emanate to their right, and they just see this crescent slash through the shadow, and then golden light emanates from within the shadow, and it just eventually bursts into light and disappears. Then back to darkness.
Nice. All right. Lloyd, it is your turn.
God dang it.
Well, since Chorus was sword bursting, I don't know what he was attacking. I mean, I know he was attacking that, but I don't know which direction. So I'm going to pull on the thing to Chorus. And you know what? Since I can feel him, you know, I'm touching his back right now. I'm just going to swing around wildly.
All right, roll the disadvantage, brother.
I want to make sure not to go in his direction. I'm just going to swing around wild.
Well, the natural one.
He almost fucking got me.
Oh, 9 unfortunately misses. You're just going...
Hit my horns. Oh god.
I hit something.
It was me.
Damn it.
I guess that's fair. I know what I guess that's fair.
Yep.
Nope, it's fine.
Alright, that ends my turn.
Alright, Chorus.
Alright. Well, I know it's in front of me. And this one was being my dead wife. It doesn't look like my dead wife anymore, does it?
It was just a silhouette. But, no. You can't see it anymore. The visage flickered in and out for a moment, but disappeared.
Has it
felt like it has a solid form, or does it kind of feel spectral?
It's spectral.
Whenever it's touched.
Sure.
Okay. Cool. That makes a difference on what I'm going to do. All right. So, let's just go ahead and roll this. That's an 11. That's going to miss.
Yeah, unfortunately, that doesn't hit.
Damn it. Well, all right. I can do this as a bonus action, but it'll be a disadvantage. I'm going to throw my hand axe. 12 on that one, and a 21 on the other.
Ooh, that hits. That hits.
All right, cool. 7 plus 2 is 9 points of damage.
Is this magical damage?
Yes, my axes with my invocation are magical.
All right. Tell me, how do you delete this one?
I throw the axe, because I can't see it. It whizzes past its head, hits the wall, and because of my feet, which causes the weapon return of Thrown Arms Master, which causes the weapon to always boomerang back to me. It, like Captain America's shield, bounces off the wall through the skull of the creature back into my hand. That is my turn.
All right, we are out of combat. Oh. There's nothing that you can sense down this hallway now.
Do I get my bonus for killing it with the lever because it's undead? Or no, does it have to be a living thing for that, for the healing?
I mean, technically you can kill undead, no?
But I mean, this is like a ghost.
Yeah, it is more like a spectral ghost. Yeah, we'll say no in this scenario then.
Because it's draining the blood usually of things, so. I don't think so, because that's the whole thing of it, is it drinks blood. Yeah.
Well, I'm completely exhausted.
Me too. I'm feeling significantly weaker. If I had to put a number to it, I'm feeling a whole 5 points weaker.
What?
I mean, if I had to quantify it in some way, and it was on a scale of 0 to 20, I'd say I was around like a 12, and now I feel like I'm around a 7.
Well, if I were to put it in the numbers, I'm typically around 100. And now I'm at 50.
70? Oh, well, 50? Goddamn, man. It really fucked you up. I got you good.
I'm gonna lean up against this wall.
You want a nap?
I do. I do, I really do.
A nap sounds good right about now. How about you? How about you, Moros? You want a nap?
Very well. A nap it is. Do you think it's safe here?
Nope.
Moros will volunteer to take first watch then, because he's the healthiest.
I don't need to sleep.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay, well then. Moros will let him take the first watch.
You guys are taking a long rest.
I was saying more short rest, but that is up to them. I function off both.
I'm down for a short rest or a long. It does not matter.
I'm down for a long because all of my stuff is long rest.
All right. If we're gonna do a long, then we should probably go back to the light.
I will be transparent. If you take a long rest, Chorus is going to have to roll 8 times charisma saving throws.
I can do it.
Or can we just go back up to the surface and then take a long rest?
We could probably go back to the room.
I mean, yes, if we go back to the room, I'm still going to have to make it anywhere inside this cave and in the woods. I think it's not as severe. But I'm still gonna have to roll.
What if you fail while we're asleep and you attack us, though?
That is why it is up to you all.
Yep.
I will let you know. I have a +7 to charisma saving throws,
So
do a short rest.
It is up to you guys.
He said short rest. I'm with him on short rest. Right. Then.
Okay.
So just one. We'll roll me a charisma save.
Twenty-three.
You resist the effects of the whispering from down here in this unknown place you've entered. You all finally recollect yourselves after your short rests. Do you continue forward?
Yeah.
Thank God.
I'll try to make sure you're not next to me next time I do that. No, I feel bad.
You should.
I do.
All right, as you all go further and further down the hallway, eventually the darkness, it trickles out. It seems to have a range of some sort. But you come to a corridor, and you see all around you, there are these purple flame braziers that you couldn't see before, standing on each side of each doorway presented to your left, straight ahead of you, and to your right.
Okay.
You want to flip this three-sided coin I got to decide which way to go?
A three-sided coin?
I'm going to stand equidistant to each door, so like right in the center. How many feet is that between me and each door?
You're about
5 feet.
Yep, give or take, yep. 10 to the
lower.
Alright,
well, I'm going to cast Divine Scent. Okay, well, I'm going to do that then. I'm going to cast Divine Scent, so emanating 60 feet from me, detect any celestial fiends and undead.
No, not within 60 feet of me, no.
Alright, that's one use of my Divine Sense. Alright, well, no signs of trouble immediately on the other side of any of these doors. Whichever you want to open is up to you.
I pull out my three-sided coin. 10 it doesn't work. It's an invalid format. 1. The door right here on my left. I open the door, and I close the door, and then I open the door, and I close the door.
All right, as you open the door, this serene chamber holds a still pool. There are no other doors located in this room that you can see. However, you can hear the whispering growing louder and louder in your head, and the gibberish of whispering turns into the common tongue.
Peek into the cold abyss. Witness the unknown.
I kind of, you know, I looked at a god of murder. That was kind of abyss-like. It was pretty big. How about y'all? Y'all ever looked in the abyss?
Define abyss. One's worst nightmares happening before your very eyes? Yes.
I feel like that's pretty abyss-like. How about you, Lloyd? Lloyd? Oh god, he's looking into the abyss right now.
Yeah, he's looking in it right now.
Sorry, my cottons. I can't really hear you.
You ever look into the abyss?
Something similar.
Yeah, see, you know, voice whispering at us. We've all looked in the abyss. We're fine.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Have you looked into the abyss? Voice?
Oh, you're talking to me for a second. I was going to say. I am the fucking abyss.
She was born in it.
Molded by it.
You know what? The voice isn't answering. I think it's shy.
It just keeps repeating in common.
Peek into the cold abyss. Witness the unknown.
Oh, shit, there's a bunch of water.
It's like the DirecTV help channel.
A serene pool in this chamber.
Y'all able to swim?
Moros looks at him. Well, yes, but do I want to?
You know, that's actually kind of surprising. They got water up in the Badlands?
Not so much the Badlands, but more so my travels since.
Gotcha.
I've had to learn a thing or two.
Cool. Hold on for a second.
Funny thing about plate mail, you don't float.
I plunge my head into the water.
Oh.
Peeks his head into the abyss, I say, as he does that.
One moment. I don't know why my document falls. Okay. As you dip your skull into the still pool, there are ripples of water circling around your head. And the ripples now are showing a light to you, a vision. You can see a figure descending from the sky. As the image begins to focus, you can see this skyscape and emerging from the atmosphere. What you can assume is the atmosphere of the material plane. You can see what appears to be meteors falling from the sky. This is a vision of the falling stars, Calamity. As you can see it happening before you. Meteors, doom, 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 coming in so fast that you're not able to get a good look at it. But if you want to try to focus, you could roll a perception check.
Perception check. I'm not terrible in them. 13.
13. It's going too fast. You can't get a good read of, you know, what these things that crashed into the material plane are made out of. And then your vision snaps back to reality. Your face is just in now a cold pool.
Snap back to reality. Okay. I put my hands into the pool, and I hook underneath my skull, and I lift it off the joint, and I come back up, waving around. I think my head's falling off, and I fall backwards and lay still.
Oh, sweet heavens, what the... Morris walks over, looks at him.
I grab his leg.
As he grabs my leg, Moros goes,
and my fucking skull starts laughing on the ground. Oh, I'm fucking with y'all.
Moros just stands there with a blank look on his face. I hope you get a good laugh out of that.
See, I know right now I'm mighty defenseless, and if you just raised your boot up, you'd crush my skull, but I trust you not to do that.
I'm putting my leg down right now. Yes, you trust us.
Oh, good. I'm gonna know if someone's ready to pull the trigger when they have to.
You gonna still lay there? We're gonna...
Yeah, I'm getting them. So, stars falling is what I saw. Yep. That's kinda it.
So like a meteor shower?
Calamity.
I mean, yeah, it was a calamity, I'm pretty sure, but...
Anything of note, of interest?
Nope, just saw a bunch of stars. They're kind of moving a little too fast for me to tell.
Let me show they were stars.
I mean, what else would be falling from the sky with bright lights?
Aliens.
Where do you think the Mind Flayers came from?
I mean, maybe they live on stars. I don't know.
Maybe they weren't stars. Maybe they were ships.
That was a lot of ships.
I do not know. I was not there. I'm just merely...
Could be an invasion.
Interjecting an idea.
It was like... A number I cannot count to. And I can count to at least 50.
Okay.
I know I grew up out, you know, in a trading village, kind of. I mean, small, but I at least learned how to count and do math.
I'm proud of you.
I can count. I can't quite do that much math.
You did grow up out in deserted wasteland, so can't really fault you for that.
Thank you for your understanding.
Is it deserted if he and his people grew up there?
I mean, kinda. I don't have the answer to that question. Like, what determines the desertation of something?
There's no one there.
So, the moment somebody steps foot there, it's no longer deserted?
Or if they live there, then yes, it's no longer, it's not really deserted.
Were your people, did you live there, or were you like nomadic peoples?
My people? There was no people. There was myself and my father. Mm. That was it.
I think we moved from place to place. I feel like that's pretty deserted.
A population of two.
They never were in one place long enough to really settle.
My father once spoke of others, but not in any meaningful juncture.
They got badlands.
I do not know.
All right, what's behind the next door?
Hey, what's up with this big hand, by the way? Neither you look at that while I was sticking my head in that pool?
I mean, I see it, but I don't want to touch it.
Fair enough. I respect it.
Upon further notice, it looks like it's flipping the finger. Well, onward.
Alright, there's two door options for you guys to go through. You guys can go through the door to the north or the door to the east.
I'll take the door to the east.
Walking in the corner.
Huh. We're out of the dark, Lloyd. You can open your eyes now.
Where are we going?
I don't know.
North?
I mean, east? I chose the last door. Y'all can go ahead and pick the next one.
I don't know what that means. Let's go forward. North.
All right.
I'll open the door. It's pitch black. I'm coming back in.
Nope, I don't like that.
You know what? Let's close that door. Let's open the other door. It's also pitch black. I'm coming back in.
Hold on. I didn't set this map up. You can open both. Well, you can open one door. Because the one to the north, when you try to open it, you are not able to open it.
Oh, well then. It's no longer pitch darkness. Someone turned on the lights.
This room, you see...
What is this?
This is just theater of the mind. You see a bunch of beautiful columns, black obsidian in color. This room is completely filled with obsidian black. Silver.
I love big black obsidian columns.
You see bookshelves lining with very similar books. Every book, the cover looks exactly the same, and it is neatly organized. However, the books are slightly eroded, as if over a period of time this has been eroded.
What do you do?
Nerd in here.
I'm gonna undo myself from the ropes.
No, I'm gonna walk around. We were attached by them.
There's books.
I'm gonna untie myself as well. I will search another bookshelf. Okay. Hey, Moros, we got books. Can you read?
You already know the answer.
I'm assuming the answer is no.
Well, they're mostly eroded.
Yeah, but I mean, there might be a few that are still readable, and I'm gonna go ahead and make a investigation, I guess.
Yep, see if you can find probably the best quality book.
18.
18. You find a book that's in actually relatively decent condition. It is a purple book with obsidian black binding. You pull it out. You open it. You see The Unknown is the title of the book on the first page. As you continue to sift through the book, it tells of a lich who's been buried here for quite some time. That they became so powerful that they ascended to godhood. Nothing is known about them, but they call him the Unknown. He's been dead for God knows how long, but he is resting at this time. And you hear a opening of the doors, actually, because Moros hasn't left the hallway. The doors, the stone doors open, and you see opening over here, Moros, what appears to be a place of worship. You see rows of obsidian black stone hues. The walls are lit by purple torch sconces, and you see sitting right at the end of this room is a sarcophagus. Rectangular on the bottom, and on the top you can see the form of a dragonborn.
We heard this, right? You said?
They're talking, that's it. No.
Only Moros saw that. He's because he was still in the hallway when the door opened.
Gotcha, okay.
Oh, he's muted. Mm-hmm. Wait. Hope everything's all right.
So I walk into the room where Coris and Lloyd are at, and I inform them of the big sarcophagus and of the many little sarcophagus in the room.
Oh, those are actually rows of pews.
Then the rows of pews, excuse me.
Nope, you're fine.
What? That's probably what we're looking for. Alright. Let's go kill us a lich god. Oh yeah, by the way, this thing might be a god now, so.
A god?
Yeah, apparently it was a lich so powerful it ascended to godhood. Called the Unknown. No.
Ooh, the Unknown is called the Unknown. Wow, yeah. So creative.
I mean, cultists usually aren't the smartest. Or, well, no, they're usually pretty creative, but I don't know, their naming conventions usually suck. Like, oh, the Machine of Doomsday, or the Blood Cold.
The King of Demons. Whoa.
All right. Let's go.
Why are you just casually walking down the road?
I mean, they're just pews. They're just little chairs. you know, the big sarcophagus is in the middle. Said it was a dragonborn we could see?
Yeah, there's the form of a dragonborn.
Don't you think it's a little weird that this journey began with a dragonborn? Now there's a dragonborn lich? This ain't the same dragonborn, is it?
Divine sense.
You cast Divine Sense. You can feel a very strong magical presence of the undead variety resting in this sarcophagus.
I tell Coerce to get back as soon as I hear that. Coerce, step back.
Big old step back.
Can everybody roll me a perception check real quick?
Aww. Fucking hell.
17.
Moros and Chorus, you see quickly peeking his head from the other side of sarcophagus, a very elderly looking man who appears to be in the form of an elf with mangled brown hair, who quickly turns his hair back around the corner as if he's hiding from you.
Do it.
I pointed out to Lloyd. Look over there.
The fuck?
The little one is an elf.
Hey.
Come on out. We see you step out of the shadows.
And we might not chop your head off.
You see a very frail, old elven man with white hair. Just a complete tangled mess. He looks very malnourished.
Don't hurt me.
He's breathing heavily.
Don't let you what?
Who are you and how long have you been down here?
I don't remember my last name, but I remember my first. My name is Corazar.
Say your name is Chorus and I was about to kill you, but you know what? You're okay.
I'm the real one.
He's like putting his hands up in his face, kind of like...
Clearly,
I said you're okay. I thought we were going to have to battle for the right of the toe and the name, but... You lucked out.
How did you get in here? You're not... I can't believe I've gotten more visitors. I've been here for so long, and I've never gotten visitors until recently.
Zach, the divine sense, is it emanating from him?
No.
I'm inside the coffin.
Yeah, I tell them it isn't him, it's the coffin.
Alright, you said more visitors. You've had other visitors?
Yes. I've been here for 450 years. Stuck. Trapped. Never seen anybody come in or come out until recently. A couple days ago.
Holy shit, you're older than I am. God damn. I didn't think I'd see the day that happened. Who else came in here?
It was a powerful necromancer. He just waltzed here. He was wearing a black cloak with golden filigree cresting from their chest, shoulder, and gauntlets. They had tubes reaching from their chest to their mouth. They were wearing a mask. They grabbed an item from the unknown in the sarcophagus. He took it and walked out.
Wasn't his phylactery, was it?
I don't know. I don't know.
He just keeps repeating himself, I don't know.
Do you know... You know where the phylactery is? Or what it was?
I don't know.
I don't know, and he shakes his head.
I think this guy's defective.
I'm gonna walk up to him. I'm gonna grab him by his shirt and slap him a few times. Wake up!
I don't know if that's gonna work. You might just break his brain a little more.
Eh.
Do you want to leave this place?
Do I want to leave? No. No. No.
You just keep shaking his head.
No. I don't know what I was.
He starts crying.
And you don't want to leave.
He places his hands on his head. And he freezes his head and bursts it into ice. That he has decapitated himself right in front of Lloyd.
All
right,
he killed himself.
Man. I'm going to loot the body.
Good idea.
One second.
That just happened?
We'll that see what you find on this guy. What CR is he? 3. Okay.
That was violent.
Damn.
What the fuck? Is the coffin open, by the way?
It is a closed coffin. Dude, I can't find my tables. What the fuck is going on?
Oh, hey, another door.
Okay. So...
I'm gonna inspect it.
What you see on his body is, one, a quarterstaff, and, 2, you get a spell scroll of Create Undead.
Oh, this will come in handy.
There's a door over here. So.
Well, may you rest in peace, I guess.
I don't think we want to fuck with old unknown boy's body.
Yes, let's leave the potential demigod's grave alone.
There's a desk in here.
But isn't this where the curse is coming from?
I don't know.
We'll leave it alone for a moment.
So
let
this
Chorus
room...
Oh,
sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
So this room you guys are entering now appears to be the sleeping quarters of a priest who may have resided over this temple a very long time ago. You can smell rotting wood throughout the room, and lining the walls are wooden bookshelves with many, now a different assortment of rotted books on the bookshelf. A bed, a kind that is beginning to decay, stands on the left side of the room, and adjacent to it is a desk that has a book open. This book is probably the most recent, most fresh book that you've seen here so far. It's as if someone kept very good care of this book. And you can see beautiful handwriting.
I'm gonna read the book.
Okay. So, to give you a brief summary of the book, this book goes over their adventure logs of Khorzar Thorlong, a wizard who served Bea the Beautiful. He stumbled upon this temple in seek of something that he thought would be beautiful. Knowledge. He thought knowledge was beautiful. There are descriptions of his experience in the pool of memories. He saw happy memories of his wife, Ilya, and his son, Taraxis. Upon utilizing the pool again, he was flooded with something strange. He saw the falling stars, but he didn't only see meteors. Khorzar states he saw multiple flying ships with rubbery tendrils falling from the skies and crashing into the realm. He had many questions, but ventured deeper into the temple, and he found an amulet with a skull pendant. One eye had black gems. The other one was red. He removed it from the altar and enabled a magical spell to activate, and because of its removal, this caused a great evil cursed tree to be created that he calls the Tree of Wither. He says that because of this, he triggered the constant whispering in the Whisperwood and has been trapped here for such a long time.
later and later into the book, he's clearly gone mad in his writing. And you noticed before that things were, like, dated, very organized and structured, but eventually the structure fell off, and the last date log that you can see on there is from over 200 years ago.
Walk back out. Actually, hold on. I'm going to search the desk first.
I did not hear any of that. I stepped away, so you're going to have to repeat that for me, Dalton. But that's okay.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll gives a little reason for you to tell me.
All right, I'm searching the desk. That is an 8.
There is ink and quill. That is about it.
All right. I'll leave it. Well, there's the man who just blew his own head off. He kept a journal. He was a priest of a god of beauty, came here looking for something he found beautiful, knowledge. He's a bit of a nerd, I kind of called it. Let's see, there was that. He saw the falling stars as well. You were right, Lloyd. There were spaceships in there.
It was Moros.
Casey.
No, one of you said it.
I said aliens.
I mean, they're both the same. They're both the same fucking thing. One carries the other.
Very true.
Let's see. There was that. Then he found a pendant, grew a tree, and that tree is what is causing the whispers, so we don't have to fuck with the coffin.
Where's the tree?
Wasn't there a big old fucking tree in the Whisper Woods?
Yes, there was. I'm not remembering that. The Owlins brought it up.
Oh, fuck.
I thought that's where we were headed, and we just found this place.
No, we were coming to look for the Lich's phylactery, because we thought the Lich might have been responsible for it. I mean, kind of was, but now it looks like it's that big old tree.
Hear me out, Corvus. I thought the phylactery was inside of the tree.
I could see why you think that. I kind of just thought it would be inside his coffin.
Look, I heard tree first, and I wanted to go to the tree. We ended up here just to figure out that we have to go to the tree.
Yeah, you know,
to the tree, then?
Well, I walk over to the priest's body.
Does he have
Why couldn't you
that
have taught me that spell
him?
Before you killed yourself with it?
He has no pendant, no such pendant on him.
Motherfucker. I wonder if our necromancer that we're chasing, kind of chasing, I mean, we're not really chasing, we're just kind of following. I wonder if he had that pendant, took that pendant.
Damned priest. I wanted to do that.
You wanted to blow your own head off or blow his head off?
Blow my own head off in this moment right now.
Fair enough. Alright. Want to do something kind of dumb?
Open the sarcophagus?
No, but it'll piss off the thing inside the sarcophagus whenever it decides it's ready to wake up.
Why would I want to do that?
I turn him around and I reach inside the bag and grab out the hitting and hammer. We're gonna rope his ass shut.
I assume he's really strong, so he'd probably just be able to.
I mean, maybe, but it'd be kind of funny if he couldn't and he's just trapped in there. Because I'm gonna go back, grab the rope, and actually get a Morse, because Morse never untied it, so he's just been dragging it behind him. Pick up the rope, untie it from him. Walk over, hammer the pins into the ground at corners, and then wrap it around the top of the lid back and forth, real pot, so it's like holding the lid down. Alright. And. Fuck it, I'll make a survival for it.
Yep, that's what I was gonna say. Make a survival check.
16. It's pretty 16. Damn good.
Nice little rope work there, Corvus. You're pretty confident in yourself.
All right, let's go.
Chorus.
Let's run before it wakes up.
Chorus.
Yes.
Do you know how useless this is?
I mean, probably pretty, but it'd be funny if it worked.
I walk up to it, grab my rod of,
Oh my god, I forgot she had that.
My immovable rod, and I place it on top, press the button. This is how you make sure something doesn't.
That's perfect.
But then I press the button, put it back in my pocket. Fucking
oh, god damn it.
Who said that would have worked anyway?
Yeah, I mean, technically, strength, if it has a DC 30 strength check. It's a lich, it ain't got no fucking strength. Alright. Well, time to head back, I guess.
Alright.
Motherfucker, I gotta make another... Phil and I gotta make another save before we go, I'm
before
sure.
Before you go, one more. Yes, sir.
For 23 again.
Yep, you're fine. You're fine.
Alright. But I do ask for all of here because I do have to wake up early in the morning, so...
I was actually about to end once you guys would leave. I had a little cliffhanger I wanted to leave off.
Alright, then let's do that. We leave.
As you go back to the entryway of the... Where the elevator where you guys came down, it begins to move back up. But halfway up, it moves to the left. As if it's shifting, moving somewhere else. And then it starts moving back up. And you emerge. Boom, as the door opens, you can see the hollowed inside of this tree. There are small cracks for you to fit inside the tree. To escape, if you would like to get out of the tree.
Oh, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
What's Kansas?
I don't know. It's kind of like a mythical place that kind of... It's kind of like purgatory. There's nothing but, like, this... this plant called corn for, like, miles and nothing else.
Alright, do you guys head through the cracks of the tree to see what's beyond?
Sure.
Okay?
Sure. Yep.
I'll take a peek.
Let me get you guys back on this map, then.
I'll use my spyglass to veer through the cracks and see what's inside.
Oh, how's you guys down here? Weird. Alright. As you all... Where is my other token? Literally the token I need for this.
Did you change the map?
Not yet. I'm trying to set it up for you guys first.
Oh, okay.
My tokens. Oh, well. I don't have the token, but that's fine. I'll describe what you guys see. You all see, as you emerge from the tree, a group of goblins who's missing chunks of their flesh. Their flesh is decayed. You can smell the stench of death on them. And emerging from the pack of goblins, you see a cloaked figure with tubes running from his chest to his mouth, its face encompassed in a mask of some sort. It appears to be, this would be out of game knowledge, but a gas mask. And you can hear heavy breathing. As that's where we're going to end tonight's session.